Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we report on how farmers and other agricultural experts are preparing for a more difficult future.
Always the poorest and the smallers are the most vulnerable.
Then we report on the work of a 30-year-old award-winning playwright. He has been writing about race and identity in the United States.
Hi, everyone. I'm a black playwright. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm here to tell you a story.
Why climate change is worrying farmers. And what makes someone black? A question asked on an American stage. Those are our stories today. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the voice of America, and this is our daily program, As It Is. The Paris International Agricultural Show is the biggest farming event in France. The show has plenty of farm animals, growers, and other people every year. This year, some of those attending considered the effects of climate change on farm production. Farmers and experts from around the world spoke about ways to prepare agriculture for a more difficult and possibly uncertain future. More now from Marcia James.
Bigger droughts, more flooding, and stronger storms are some of the effects that climate change has brought to our planet. Farmers are reacting to the effects of rising temperatures. But many small family farmers in developing countries suffer because of the changing conditions. By the year 2050, farmers will have to feed a world population of about 9.6 billion. Just over 7 billion people are alive today. Jose Graziano da Silva is Director General of the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization. He says that to deal with climate change, agriculture must become more sustainable, more resilient, and more widely available. He says even the poorest people have a right to food.
Always the poorest and the smallers are the most vulnerable. Starting from the fact that they are already in marginal areas. So they are the first that are affected by a drought or by a flooding, that are the, let's say, the current ongoing impacts of the climate change.
The UN's Food and Agricultural Organization chief spoke at an international meeting in Paris. He and other delegates looked at the issue of climate change and agriculture. A major UN climate conference will take place in the French capital in December. The goal of those talks is to reach an international deal to cut greenhouse gas emissions. Studies have found links between such gases and rising temperatures.
Il y a aussi l'enjeu de la conférence de Paris.
French President François Hollande said the UN conference will not settle all the climate change problems. But he said it must at least give the world a reason for hope. He said it is important to define a plan of action to fight climate change, and agriculture must be part of the solution. I'm Marcia James.
You are listening to As It Is from the Voice of America. At 30 years old, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins has already written a number of plays and been honored with several awards. His works for the theater look at race and identity in the United States. They have been performed in New York City and around the country. One of his plays, called An Octoroon, can now be seen at a theater in Brooklyn. Katie Weaver tells us about the play and the playwright.
At the beginning of An Octoroon, a man wearing only his underwear appears in the front of the theater. He takes a long look at the crowd and then speaks.
Hi, everyone. I'm a black playwright. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm here to tell you a story.
This piece of audio comes from a rehearsal, preparation before the show itself. But at a public performance, the comment gets a big laugh. And that is what playwright Jacobs Jenkins attempts to do. He walks a fine line between making fun of theater traditions and getting people to think about race and identity.
Because it's like, well, what makes me a black? I mean, I guess that I'm black, but then it's like, why isn't Sam Shepard a white playwright? It just like it's qualifying something, and I don't know why or what it's qualifying exactly. Like, I can understand it as a descriptive term, but I don't know what it means. It's like a profession.
Over the past 5 years, Mr. Jacobs Jenkins has established himself in the theater world with three plays on the issue of race in America. In Neighbors, a family of minstrels moves in next to a mixed-race family. The minstrels are white, but cover their skin with black makeup. Inappropriate, a white family discovers that their dead father belonged to the Ku Klux Klan. That extremist group has pushed for separation of whites from other races. The third work, An Octoroon, is based on a 19th century play by playwright Dion Boucicault. It tells the story of a young man who is preparing to become the owner of a large farm in the southern United States. He falls in love with a woman who is an octoroon. She is 7/8 white and 1/8 black. 200 years ago, having just one black great-grandparent was enough to identify someone as black. At the time, laws barred such a person from marrying anyone who was white. Brandon Jacob Jenkins uses large parts of the language from the original play by Boucicault. He is not so much adapting or amending Boucicault's script as taking parts of it, like a piece of music. So he mixes the language of the first version of the play with modern speech. Mr. Jacobs Jenkins says his modern version of Boucicault's work has more in common with the earlier script than you might think. The two playwrights are centuries apart and of different races, but their goal is to please theatergoers.
An audience wants to enjoy itself. And that's what Boucicault, that's all he talked about, was like, it's about an audience wanting to feel something. And they want to feel it, so give it to them. And then if you get to, like, teach them a lesson or let them know something else, then that's even better.
And he hopes An Octoroon will do just that. I'm Katie Weaver.
That's our program for today. I hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the VOA Learning English Headquarters in Washington. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time with another broadcast webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America. Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. From VOA Learning English, this is the Technology Report. Most scientists agree that increasing amounts of carbon dioxide gas in Earth's atmosphere is partly to blame for rising temperatures, also known as climate change. Changes in the atmosphere can have a big effect on weather conditions around the world. The most cost-effective way to get power still comes from burning fossil fuels, such as coal, oil, and natural gas. They are less costly than other forms of energy. But burning fossil fuels releases carbon dioxide, known to scientists as CO2. Keeping excess CO2 from entering the atmosphere is a difficult and costly process. Scientists are looking for the best and least costly methods for capturing the gas and storing it away from the atmosphere. Some of this research is taking place in Western Norway. The Technology Center in Mongstad is the largest facility in the world for major testing of new CO2 capturing technologies. The center is called TCM. Tor Amundsen is its chairman. He says TCM has produced important knowledge since it opened in 2012.
We learned about selection of materials, we learned about design models that has been improved considerably through these tests, and we learned a lot about operations of a facility, which is a fairly large facility.
Tor Amundsen says there are other things to be learned from operating large machinery designed to capture CO2 from power stations.
Simple things like how to start it up, how to run it at different loads, and how to close it down again. And simple things like that that we didn't have any experience with on beforehand.
TCM is connected to a nearby electric power plant. Mr. Amundsen says the center treats exhaust fumes from the plant. It uses chemical solvents to capture CO2 from those gases.
And the solvent attracts the CO2 molecules from the exhaust gas. And then we take the chemical with the CO2 molecules and boil off the CO2, so to speak, so that we can then separate the CO2 from the solvent that we used and reuse the solvent again to capture more CO2.
The goal is to capture 90% of the CO2 from the exhaust gases. But Mr. Amundsen says the process is still costly.
With the current state of technology, it is something that will increase the cost of electricity between perhaps 30 to 40% when the technology is applied on a power plant.
Experts say the best way to store the captured gas is to place it underground into areas left empty after the removal of oil or natural gas. But the Technology Center Mongstad does not pump the CO2 it captures underground. Instead, it releases the gas into the atmosphere. Tor Amundsen says only highly developed industrial nations have the money to pay for this kind of technology. So far, only Canada has a power plant that pumps CO2 gas underground. Other countries are building similar power plants. I'm Jonathan Evans.